This past Friday, Pope Leo visited the city of Iznik in northwestern Turkey. Iznik is built on the side of Lake Iznik, which is a freshwater lake, very beautiful. They say the water is so sweet. For centuries, the people of Iznik have been swimming in the lake, and they had noticed that there was some kind of ruins under the lake, but no one really paid much attention. Then, in the year 2014, someone was flying over the lake and took an aerial photograph of the lake from above. And from that photograph, they saw that the ruins were literally the outline of an old church. This year, there was a drought in northwestern Turkey, and the lake receded a great deal and revealed these ruins, these stone walls. An archaeologist, Mufasa Saim, said, "For centuries we've been looking and knowing that these ruins were in the lake, but we were looking and not seeing." He traveled to the Vatican, where there's a fresco that shows a church built beside a lake. You see, the name of Iznik, Turkey, used to be Nicaea. And exactly 1700 years ago, in the year 325, just as Christianity was becoming more of the religion of the empire, a group of scholars and theologians met in the town of Nicaea, and in this church, they debated about the nature of Christ. There was a priest named Arius, and he thought that Jesus was the Son of God, but he thought that God had created Jesus, like God has created the rest of us. The other scholars and theologians felt very strongly that Jesus was not created, but co-eternal with God. The debate got so hot that St. Nicholas of Christmas, our own Santa Claus, evidently punched Arius in the face. And out of the debate was created the Nicene Creed that we have been reading in church for 1700 years. And if you'll notice, there are three paragraphs for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But God the Son is really long because they were trying to make a point. It says, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Just in case you wondered about the nature of Jesus. But I loved what the archaeologist said. It's as if we were looking, but we had never really seen this church. We have now entered the season of Advent. Advent is a very special, unique season that is lost to most of Christianity these days. The only people that really honor Advent are the ancient Christians like us, or the liturgical Christians, the one that have the Eucharist, the one who do things in the old ways, but try to keep retranslating it so it makes sense to you. The Anglicans, the Lutherans, the Roman Catholics, the Eastern Orthodox. We have this special season called Advent. And Advent is a season in which we really try to look for Christ, or better yet, to see Christ. You see, it's not just about waiting for Christmas to come. And it's really not just about waiting for the end of time. Advent is about being awake and really seeing. In the letter for the Romans today, Paul writes, "It's time for you to wake up." You see, in every age, human beings have been prone to rushing about our lives, dealing with what I would call the surface of life. Our jobs, our loved ones, whether we're making enough money, whether we look good enough, whether people like us. And it's not that any of that isn't important, but it's only the surface of our reality. There is much more that is deeper and eternal. And if we get very busy with our surface life, if we don't take the time to really sit quietly and see a tree or the face of our loved one, we can spend our whole lives running and being busy, and it's as if we're asleep. We'll look back over the years and say, "Where did all the time go?" I remember being called to the bedside of a man who was 91. He had never really gone to church. He had had a good life, was happily married, very successful, had children and grandchildren. But he called a priest and asked me, he said, "Is there anything after death?" And I said, "Well, I mean, I kind of think so. Obviously, I do this for a living." And then he asked me the funniest question I'll never forget. He said, "Have you been thinking about this stuff your whole life?" As if it hadn't occurred to him to think of anything more than this life. And I thought to myself, "Wow, you're pretty late thinking about this stuff." Better late than never. Jesus also tells us to be awake. He says we can be going about our busyness, and then, like Noah back in the story of Genesis, all of a sudden there'll be this great flood and everything will be washed away. You have to know how to go deeper. You have to know what is truly permanent, the only things you can really hold on to. Sometimes, in order to comprehend these incomprehensible notions, it's good to look at other religious traditions because they explain it in a different way. In Hinduism, there's a story about a sage, a very wise man named Narayan. Narayan has walked all over the earth and learned so much, and he's walking alongside Lord Krishna, and he asks Lord Krishna, "Please tell me, what is Maya?" Now, in Hinduism, the word Maya means ignorance, illusion, the surface reality of life. And so Lord Krishna says, "Sure, I'll explain Maya to you, but first, it's really hot out, isn't it? Would you go get me a glass of water?" Narayan says, "Okay." So he leaves Lord Krishna under a shady tree and he walks out into the desert, and it's very, very hot. And he starts sweating and getting very thirsty and says, "Wow, I'm going to need a drink of water too." And he keeps walking and walking, and it seems to take forever. Finally, he gets to a village, and he goes to the very first house he sees, and he knocks on the door, and the door opens. And there stands before him the most beautiful young woman he has ever seen in his entire life. He falls immediately in love with her. And because there was no dating back then, he says, "Would you marry me?" Kind of fast. And she says, "Okay." He marries her, and he wants to make her happy. He gets a house, he amasses land. They start having children very quickly. Over time, Narayan becomes the patriarch of the village, amassing a lot of land. He has children and grandchildren. He adores his wife. They adore their grandchildren. Everything is wonderful. And then all of a sudden, one day, out of the blue, there's this huge flood that comes surging through the village, and everyone is being washed away, and Narayan falls down on his knees, and he says, "Lord, Lord, please save my family, save my wife, my children, my grandchildren." And he says, hears a voice, "I'm still waiting for my drink of water." Narayan looks up and everything is washed away, and he realizes what Maya is. We live in one reality here, a reality that can become so encompassing that it puts us to sleep, that we forget that there is anything more. But if you live only on the surface of life, everything will be washed away. As Jesus says, two will be in a field, one will be washed away, and the other one will come with me. Don't you want to learn how to see more deeply? To see the eternal things? The things that last? The beauty that God can show you every day? We can do this by being mindful, just pausing, just noticing, just saying thank you. So when Pope Leo went to Iznik, he met the Patriarch of Constantinople there, and they decided, it's so unimportant what we've disagreed with in the past. We really should be one church. They said, we've gotten very distracted, and we want to learn to see more clearly each other and the deeper realities of life. So that, my friends, is the season of Advent, and in these brief 4 weeks, as we light a candle on our wreath, one more each week, I invite you not just to look at your life, to see. Amen.